Indiana. Give praise to God tonight. Come on, I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Stand to your feet and give him praise. He's worthy of it all. He is worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the honor. He's worthy of the glory. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. Amen. Well, friends, you know, as I was coming here tonight, I come here on a mission. I come here on a mission to do what God wants me to do. Amen. I didn't come here to play patty cake with demons. Amen. I didn't come here to give legal right to the devil. I didn't come here to glorify Jason Boggs, because I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. Amen. I remember in 2007 when I was a drug dealer and a gang member, and God saved my life, spending a year in incarceration with three felonies by the age of 15. My life was in shambles. It was wrecked. I was crushed. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about salvation. I sure didn't know anything about deliverance or anything of that nature. But Jesus saved my soul. Amen. I gave my heart to Jesus, and I said, God, wherever you lead me, I will follow. Whatever you feed me, I will swallow. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. And here I am today. Amen. Hallelujah. I was praying because I had a lot of notes, and I still have a deep teaching that the Lord has given me, because one thing that I recognize is that God is not an author of confusion, amen? That God would not move a revival and move in a powerful way with not at least confirming through his Holy Spirit what he's doing and what he's going to do. Now, to say that with our 3-pound brain that we could understand the works of God, then God wouldn't be God at all, amen? But thank God that he is greater than all of our regrets. Thank God that everything that we buried in our closets behind us, all the skeletons that we try to put away and we try to hide and we try to clean out, but we've done our best, but there's still cobwebs in a corner. There's still some dirt in our life that we need to release to God and say, God, here it is. God, I really mean it this time. I give you all of me. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my mind. I give you my body. I give you my strength, my spirit. Amen. I'm going to try to teach tonight, and I'm going to try to teach without preaching too much, but there's a fire that's shut up in my bones that I can't set still. Amen. This is just who I am. Every day when I walk up, I'm like a ticking time bomb, ready to go off on the devil and tell him, pack your ditty bag and get out the house. Your dirty laundry doesn't belong here. I pay the rent. I pay the electricity. You're not messing with my furniture in the name of Jesus. Get out, devil, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, put your finger in the air. Say, God is exalted. Do like this. Shout, the Holy Spirit is present. Stop your foot. Shout, the devil is defeated. Now look at your neighbor. Say, Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, that you consume me with you. God, that you would empty Jason Boggs, and God, that you would fill me with the presence of the Holy Spirit and with power. God, I didn't come here tonight with excellency of speech, God, that I might win people over, God. I came here tonight with the word and demonstration of the word with power, God. There is nothing good about me save you who are in me, God. Without you, I am nothing, God. I'm lost, Father. Father God, so take the I out of me, God, and put the me in the team, God, that I might be in your presence, God, that we might be in your presence tonight, God, as the worship leader sang, God, we want the Shekinah glory, the glory that would feel like a mist in this room, Father God, so thick that you couldn't cut it with a knife, Father God, that you would flow down from the presence of who you are, God, as the praises go up. May your presence come down tonight. May we feel your power. May we feel your anointing. May we feel your glory, Father God, that your appointing would be on the anointing today. God, you've destined people for a divine appointment today, God. They've been running from their past, God. They've been running from their call, God. They've been running from who you are. They are at their Nineveh moment, God. And you're preparing a moment in time at this very place, at Calvary Temple Chapel, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would rescue them, God. and put them out on solid ground. Christ, the solid rock we stand, God. If there is anything preached, God, it is salvation in Christ and Him crucified, God. I recognize, God, tonight I'm not preaching another gospel. The Apostle Paul said, God, if we preach another gospel other than my gospel, let that word be counted as a heresy or a heretic, God. I didn't come here tonight with another gospel. I came here tonight with 2/3 of the New Testament back down. Oh, my goodness, sit it down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Father God. Lord, that they would receive the 66 books, over 40 different authors in a period of 1,500 years. Lord, that they'd receive the Immaculate Conception of Jesus Christ, Father God. Lord, that they'd receive the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, God. I pray if anybody walked in here sick, God, they walk out of here whole. I pray if they walked in here depressed, they walk out of here with joy. God, we bind the spirit of heaviness, God, and we put on a garment of praise. God, we stand right now tonight, Father God, in your presence, knowing that you are the deliverer. Jesus, you are the deliverer. But you told me, Jason, go tell the devil to let my people go. And so I say to you, night devil, here is your eviction notice. You let God's people go and you do it now in Jesus Christ's name. To the glory of the Father, and everybody shouts and amen. Now I recognize y'all might not be used to me, but I like it loud for Jesus. Amen. I'm a really loud for Jesus. I'm gentle, but I'm loud. And so if we could get this up just a little bit, if you have monitors back here, maybe put it back here where I could hear a little bit. But nonetheless, before we get into the word, I just want to tell you what I'm here for tonight, okay? I was sleeping about 20 minutes, maybe 35 minutes when Pastor was driving. Praise God, it wasn't me driving. Come on, somebody shout amen. He'd have done some real praying then. He'd be like, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, could you imagine if I was sleeping and while driving and he was in the passenger seat? Talk about a real moment. Jesus, take the wheel. Come on, hallelujah, amen. But as I woke up, there was clarification because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, Jason, you're going to teach tonight a way of deliverance that you've never taught before, but in the same manner, because they have to receive it in a different way, amen. I heard somebody say one time that we are to catch fish, and so are we the line, are we the reel, or are we the hook? And the answer is none of those. We are the worm at the end of the line. And to attract the fish, we've got to be alive. I said tonight that gone are the days of a dead church, amen. Gone are the days of a watered down gospel. Gone are the days where people are looking and seeking for patty cake, baker's man. Because today is the day that people receive the trueness, because people want truth, Pastor. People want truth. And I will tell you the truth. The Bible says in John 8:32, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Many of people say set you free, but the Bible says make you free. Amen. God will make you something when you're up to nothing. Amen. So I open up my eyes so y'all know I'm not lying. And directly in front of this nice blue Toyota Tacoma was a dump truck. And on this dump truck was a cross with a scripture. May I read it to you tonight, and may this be the theme of why we're here tonight. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Can I rest your minds that I don't care to get another booking, that I'm not here so people will know who Jason Boggs is. I'm here so people will know who Jesus Christ is. Can I tell you that I have a hunger and a thirst to see God's people no longer addicted to whatever they're addicted to, whether it be their cell phones, whether it be pornography, whether it be depression, whether it be just lust or whatever it is that's been holding them for so long. I have a desire to see God's people set free and to live a holy life. Listen, if the Holy Spirit that is in you doesn't cause you to live holy, then the Holy Spirit is not in you. Amen. There's a different spirit, and it's coming all the way up, and it's coming all the way out. So he said, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking for your own interests, but looking each of you for the interest of others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And so I say to you tonight, the reason that I'm here is because there are maybe 100 people inside of this building that needs something from Jesus. You might not even need deliverance right yet, but you might walk into somebody that is so bound by the devil. They're trying to live holy. They're trying to live right. They went to the altar. They've laid down the Marlboros. They've laid down the Newports. They laid down the crack pipe. They've laid down the pills. They've laid down homosexuality. They laid down lesbianism. They laid down everything and said, Jesus, all I want is to give you all of me. But then when they get back up, they don't feel free and they walk out. And they went out the same way that they came in. My Bible tells me that God came to give us life and life more abundantly, not redundantly. And God wants to give you that life, but how do we access that life? You say, well, salvation. Well, complete salvation, yes. Let me just tell you tonight that deliverance is biblical. And so, you know, before, because right now there are people saying, and I know because I'm told left and right, Pastor, you're a heresy, you're this. Listen, because we stand for deliverance, I have had death threats on my life. I've had people come. I had this man, his name is Stephen Rohan. He called me up on a Sunday night. He got delivered most of the way, but there was still demons inside of his life moving in his life. And he called me up on a Monday, and I said, hey, Stephen, I was doing what I call a connection call. I call him up, and I see, hey, how are you doing? Kind of a dry call just to say what's up, how's things going? And all of a sudden, this evil laugh came across, and he said, I'm going to kill you, you blankety, blankety, blank, and I'm on my way, and I'm on my way right now. Where are you, you blankety, blankety, blank? And he drove 2 hours from a town right outside of Colton, West Virginia, and he came down, and my team was there, ready to pray, because we knew that we don't wrestle against people. My fight is not with you guys. Listen, if anybody has a qualm about what I'm teaching, it comes from the Word of God. Your fight is not with me. Your fight is with God. And I promise you, you will lose. You cannot win versus God. Jacob tried and he walked out with a different walk. God dislocated his hip. He walked out different than he came in there. Amen. I'm telling you tonight that when you encounter the power of Almighty God, you will no longer walk the same. You will no longer talk the same. You will no longer breathe the same. You'll no longer live the same. You will be different when you encounter the power of Jesus Christ. I promise you, you will be different. So this man came to me and he said, I'm going to kill you. And he came into the ministry. We were at Redeeming Grace in Brandywine. For those of y'all who do not know, first off, I want to say before I get any farther, because I forgot, because I get so excited about the Word of God. Y'all give your pastor a big round of applause for allowing me to be here today. I honor you, man of God, and I honor you, woman of God. And I honor you, Brother Mark and Sister Carrie, for the time that we've had to grow together in the mighty name of Jesus. I forget, and I don't want to. Y'all are so precious, and I don't take this for granted. I know what it's like to share a pulpit, and I know what it's like. Listen, fully, if I say anything out of the Word of God, you sit me down and you shut me up right now, because I don't want to be out of the will of God. But if it comes from the Word of God, chew it up and swallow it or spit it out. It's up to you. Amen. And everything that I say is going to come from the Word of God tonight, so you could bank on that in the mighty name of Jesus. But as I was saying, this man came forward, and he planned to kill us. We were at Redeeming Grace of Brandywine. It's our second location. In 2019, God told me to take literally a hell hole and turn it into a heaven hole. It was a strip club. It was a booty bar. And we went in there, and it shut down. We prayed against it. We said, you're going to shut down in the name of Jesus. Our town doesn't need this devilish stuff. You're going all the way up, and you're going all the way out. Well, in 2016, that place shut down. In 2019, I was driving by, and the Holy Spirit said, that's your next ministry. Go lead the people to Christ. We led the owners of the club to Jesus Christ, amen. We led the owner's son to Christ, amen. And in 2 years, 2.5 years, we led 400 people to Christ in a poke and plum town. You poke your head around the corner, you're plumb out of town. I'm telling you right now, it was an amazing move of God. And in 2021, God gave us a vision in September of 2021 to have an elementary school, 44,952 square foot. I believe God for it. He told me in 3 months he'd give it to us, and this is what happened, and I'm getting back to where we were at, but just hold on and strap on your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Amen. Hallelujah. But this is what happened. God told me, and I went on the news media, and I told everybody within 3 months we're going to own this building. It cost $499,000, and I had about $400. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In 2.5 months, we had a half a month late, ready to go. We had $30,000 saved. How many of y'all know that's a lot shy of what we needed? Amen. But I've been preaching with a good friend of mine, Pastor Greg Locke, for the last 7 years. I didn't ask him for a penny. I didn't ask him for a dime. I said, listen, will you pray? And one day he called me up and he said, Pastor, we're going to buy that building for you debt-free. And he paid $426,000, paid it off, gave it to us, the title and everything. That's the hand of God. That's what walking in freedom does. And so here I am at our former facility. There's a man wanting to kill us, literally, with the intention to murder me. And I said, come on down, big boy. We're going to get you delivered. You're going to get saved. You're going to give it all to Jesus tonight. And so I'll never forget the power of binding and loosing. He walked in the door something like this. And he walked down that center aisle with his fist balled looking like Sasquatch. And he got straight in my face. I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. I bind your hands to the ground. I bind your feet to the ground. And his feet stood there like this, glued to the floor in the center of the aisle. And he fell on his face before the Lord. 3.5 hours later, all the devils and demons came out of him. And he crawled to the altar, repented, and gave his life to Jesus Christ. He is now a Christian poet. His name is Stephen Rohan. And he travels wherever God will send him to talk about what Jesus has done for him. Amen. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So people say to me, they say, Pastor, what is this new doctrine? Well, we're gonna get into this because it's not a new doctrine. How many of y'all know there is nothing new under the sun? Amen. That what God did back then, he still does today. How many of y'all know that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? So if Jesus casted out devils then, he'll cast out devils now. Amen. If Jesus, and people say, well, that was only for the apostles. No, no, no. Because there was evangelists that received the same power, and there was disciples that received the same power, and we're going to get into that in a moment. And here's the thing. Most churches have no problem with saying demons can be cast out. They only have a problem when they say that it's inside of a Christian. Let me clarify what the Word of God says. If you are a born-again, spirit-filled believer, your soul cannot be possessed by a devil. It cannot be possessed, but your flesh can. That's why the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans in the 7th chapter, I don't do the things I want to do. I do the things I don't want to do. Oh, wicked man, what is going to become of this man that I am? We're going to get into it, but I want to give the outline in the book of Exodus in the 3rd chapter. If you'll turn there with me today, tonight, sometime, and we might be here till tomorrow. Somebody shout amen. By the way, Pastor, while everybody is going to Exodus chapter 3, I just want to tell you, the Holy Spirit told me when I was on my knees praying and seeking the Lord as that beautiful worship was going up to heaven, the Lord said there's two rains coming. And Pastor Joe and I was talking about it coming down here. He said a former rain and a latter rain. The former rain is the drenching of the wells. It's kind of what was poured out. It was what was poured out in Asbury, okay? But the latter rain is for the people. It happens in sporadic spots around the world, and it's for people that want the latter rain. Is there anybody in here tonight that wants the latter rain? Y'all didn't hear me tonight. I said, is there anybody in here tonight that wants the latter rain? Somebody say, send down the rain. Say, send down the latter rain. Y'all better hold on to that tonight. Put it in your pocket because that's going to happen. If you will seek him, you will find him. I promise you. We're seeing that even right now to the glory of God. This is the latter rain, church. Now Moses, chapter 3 of Exodus, starting at verse 1, kept the flock of Jethro. You better understand that Moses was an under-shepherd under the shepherd, okay? His father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. Come on, somebody, amen. How many of y'all want to come to the mountain of God tonight? Even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. I wish somebody grab a hold of that tonight, that is an image of you and I, that we will burn with fire, but we won't burn up. We will just continue to burn so that we can get the attention of others so they want the fire too. Amen. Nonetheless, that's just a sub-message. Look at your neighbor, say that's for free. All right. Verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now, if God speaks once, you better listen. God speaks twice, definitely listen. Amen. So he said, Moses, Moses, which means draw out, because Moses' name literally meant the one who was drawn out, because he was drawn out from the Nile as a baby, amen. God drawed him out, and it's amazing that as God drawed him out, Brother Mark, that God is going to use him to draw others out, amen. I want you to know tonight, you will get, if you get delivered, God will use you to help deliver others, but if you will stay prideful, and you will stay conceited, and you will have a hardened heart, God will never use you to the way that he wants to. And I don't care how many prophecies have spoken over your life, if you won't allow God to use you, God will not. I don't want God to use me. I want him to anoint me. When something's used, it gets thrown away, but when something's anointed, it gets appointed for another time. Amen. So he said, draw not here, put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely. Y'all zone in on verse 7. Number 7 is completion. Number 8 is a new beginning. Y'all hear me? Number 7 is what? And number 8 is what? Notice what happens here in number 7. It's not by accident. It's not by coinkydink, okay? Y'all check it out. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of who? You need to underline, highlight, circle, asterisk, whatever you do, my people. Notice this wasn't the devil's people. God's people was in bondage. Understand that tonight. For everybody that says you can't be oppressed of a devil, you haven't read the word of God enough. He says that my people have affliction in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now here's the completion verse, and I have come down to what? To what? To what? Ooh, you better get a hold of that. That's powerful right there, amen. To deliver them from who? Out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them to the land, unto a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, I just want to lay the foundation, okay, that just as Moses was told to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go, the devil was the one working in Pharaoh's life, okay? You've got to understand that tonight. If you think that Pharaoh was doing this on his own accord, if you think that he just decided he wanted to be evil and he wanted to have the people in slavery and beat up, nobody is born evil. They listen to the devil and they turn that way. That's why everybody has a measure of faith. That's why we should give up on nobody, because everybody is somebody to Jesus. I don't care if it's the crack addict down the street. I don't care if it's the meth addict in the pulpit. Sometimes right behind the pulpit. You say what? Don't act like it don't happen in America. I hold my peace. I don't care who it is. There's somebody to Jesus. And the devil was using Pharaoh in the same way that he's using many of different things to hold you back. If you think that you don't have change, you better think of anything that you can't let go of right now. Now, let me ask you why you could stay up and watch Netflix all night, but you open up your Bible and you go to sleep. Why you could stay and scroll through TikTok the whole time and Facebook. You need to get your face out of Facebook and get your face into God's book, amen? And why we could spend all this time on social media and on our cell phones. And it used to just be the young people, but now everybody, most of everybody is stuck inside of a television, and that's exactly what it is. It tells you a vision. And listen, we got to understand that if the vision isn't good, then what is inside of your heart is not good, because you put it in there. Because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the... What does it say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. So listen, many people try to use 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Can I teach y'all tonight? Okay, I'm going to teach you some things that are straight from the Bible, but some things that you might want to cover your little kids' ears. I'm being honest, because we have to teach you this tonight. Because too many times, Pastor, people have cherry-picked the Bible. Can I tell you what happens when you cherry-pick the Bible? There's preachers that preach like this. Lord, what do you want me to preach tonight? And Judas hung himself. Oh, Jesus. Let me try again. And do you likewise? Oh, Jesus. You know, there's people that literally get to that point where they every, say this with me, say every text has context. If you take the text out of the context, what are you stuck with? A con, right? Get that in your spirit. So everything that I'm saying, we're going to look at the before verses, the after verses, and the context in agreement of what is going on, okay? So first off, I want to say to you that deliverance is biblical. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 proves it. I really only have to go to that scripture, but we'll use a whole lot more than that. Now, found in Luke chapter 4, this is a prophecy written by Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. I'm quoting from Isaiah, then we're going to go to Luke because it's the same thing, but there's a little different twist because Isaiah was written in Hebrew and this is quoted in the Greek, okay? So understand this. I'm going to just break it down for you pretty simple here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to appoint all that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. And then he says this, listen very carefully, to give them a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Do you know what heaviness is? You ever just had a great day? You go to work. Your boss says something out of line, and your entire day is ruined. You know what calls that? A spirit. I got to lay the foundation for you tonight, okay? So Jesus is quoting Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 3, found in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. So check this out. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now notice this next verse. You can underline it. To preach what? Deliverance. So wait a second. If deliverance isn't biblical, then why does it say deliverance right here? You ever thought about that? I mean, like, you know, a lot of times when people try to prove a point, they'll be like, okay, well, what you got to do is you got to look at the Greek. And you got to look at 455 in the Greek. And then you got to take half of the Greek and you got to locate it somewhere down the line in the Hebrew and Aramaic. And then you got to study the church's traditionalism in the day that they were at. Come on, tell somebody they're full of it. Amen. But when you look here, the Bible clearly states that Jesus, this is red letters, not Jason letters, and Jesus says the Spirit of the Lord is upon who? Me. And what was the Holy Spirit there for? To anoint him to preach the gospel to the poor. See, nobody will deny. There is, I don't care if it's a Baptist church. I don't care if it's a Methodist church. I don't care if it's this ministry. I don't care if it's Episcopalian church. Nobody will deny the fact of the Great Commission if they are any church that follows the word of God. Go you into all the nations. Preach the gospel to every person. Oh my goodness. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all believe that everybody needs to know about Jesus? How many of y'all believe that Oprah Winfrey can't save you, Allah can't save you, Buddha can't save you, Confucius can't save you, Norse paganism can't save you, but only Jesus can save you? That's what the Word of God says. So the Bible says that there was an anointing, which means a divine stamp of approval. Say that with me. Say divine stamp of approval. There was an anointing that was on Jesus' life, and what was the purpose of that anointing? Well, say it with me. Every text has context. If you take the text out of the context, you're stuck with a con. So when we look at the scripture, he says he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many of y'all ever had your heart broke before? Notice this next verse, and to preach deliverance to the captives. Can I tell you, if you're in the Lord's army and the devil has a hold of you, Jesus is coming after you. Amen. He doesn't leave his own behind. The Apostle Paul in the midnight hour with Silas cried unto Jesus, and he heard him in the hour. King Jesus heard him. He cried unto him, and the Bible says he sent his angel and delivered him. The Apostle Peter was in prison, and the angel came even while the doors were shut and delivered him. I believe that there are Christians that are spiritually locked up but physically set free. He says to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind. See, none of y'all will disagree with that, because we know that Jesus laid hands on the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, begging at the wayside, and said, Lord, what? He said, what can I do for you? He said, oh, Lord, that I might see. Spit on the mud, put the clay in his eyes, and said, look, he said, I see men walking as trees. He said, can I tell you why he's seen men walking as trees? Because the first time, it wasn't that God's prayer didn't work the first time. Y'all better get that out your system. Say, that's heresy, amen. The first time he saw in the Holy Ghost, amen, the real sight that he needed to see, he walked by faith and not by sight, amen. He saw in the Holy Ghost angels, and that's why they were men walking as trees, because angels are huge, hallelujah. The second time he said, okay, he's seen in the Holy Ghost. Now we need to see in the worldly so he can help people translate from the worldly to the spiritual. Amen. So he prayed again and his eyesight was restored. Say, what does that have to do with deliverance? Well, we just talked about blind people. I figured I'd throw it in. Tell your neighbor, we just started. Don't time me. Amen. You time me, I see y'all look at your watch. That's an automatic 10 minutes on the message. Amen. Automatic. You say, what? Some of y'all like, put the watch away, put it away. I know I ain't boring, glory be to God. Glory to God, thank you, Jesus. I talk a lot, though. So he said, to set at liberty, the word liberty means free. And remember, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Liberty, freedom. So freedom from what? So you get saved, you give your heart to Jesus. That changes your stance with God. You went from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God. Let me give you the understanding here, okay? In the book of Genesis, there was a man named Noah. God flooded the earth. You say, where is this going? Hold on, and I'll tell you. God flooded the earth, and after so many days, the earth, the waters receded, and the ark rested on Mount Ararat. And then God had Noah send out a dove, and it came back with the olive branch or whatever that was there, okay? And here's what happened. As Noah seen that, they walked out on dry ground, and the Bible says that God said, I will never flood the earth again, and this shall be the sign. What was the sign? Did the Bible call it a rainbow? He called it a bow. Why? We call it a rainbow because it was formed by the prisms that are captured in the light, and it with reflection and refraction, it breathes out Roy G. Biv, right? Red, orange, yellow, you know, blue, indigo, violet, right? It breathes out these different colors, but it's a bow, and it's shaped like this. So if this is the bow, where is the string? Come on, somebody, help me out here. Help me preach. This is good. Where's the string? If this is the bow, where's the string? So then where's the arrow pointing? Up, which means that God took the wrath of man by sending his son Jesus to die in the likeness of man in the place of Adam, so that you can not just be a friend of God like Moses, but a son and a daughter of God. And so as we recognize the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and we recognize our salvation, it doesn't mean that we don't have struggles. See, I'm here to tell you, and I'm not ashamed to say it now, but I was ashamed to say it then because I'm not where I was. I needed delivered because before I knew Jesus, my eyes lusted. I gave my heart to Jesus. Guess what? Even though I tried to change what I look at, I love God with all my heart, my eyes still looked after things that were filthy. God had to deliver me. I don't have a desire to lust anymore. God took that out of me because lust comes from a spirit. Flip with me over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, please. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in who? And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? But against what? Powers, rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice the context here is that we're not wrestling against people. There are people that are talking all manner of bad about this church. I guarantee it. If you're preaching the gospel the way that I know you are, people don't like you. You try to be everyone's friend. You try to love everyone like Jesus, amen? But I've come to learn that even though I love everyone like Jesus, the devil hates my guts, amen? He wants me dead. He's got a hit out on my head. And we've got to realize, hallelujah, that even though he's doing that, he cannot win. We fight not against people. You could take it down just a little. We fight not against people, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness of this world, okay? Where are those rulers of darkness? If we were to peel back the heavens, we would see that there are real things called demons and real things called devils and real things called angels, okay? And we've got to understand that tonight, just a little bit up. Just we'll find the common ground and I'll leave you alone the rest of the night, amen. Somewhere in between not screaming and not busting their eardrums is where I like it. All right, hallelujah. Right there, perfect, don't touch it, okay. Therefore, take unto you, notice this, wherefore take unto you the whole what? Armor of God. Now, this wasn't a suggestion, Pastor Lance. God wasn't like through the Apostle Paul, you know, guys, you should just take the whole armor of God, you know. If you want to, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be okay if you don't want to. Let me tell you what happens when you don't put your war on, when you don't put your armor on. The devil knocks you flat on the back, stands in front of you like John Cena said, you can't see me now. You don't know what hit you. You're laying down. You're looking up, say, glory, hallelujah. I thought I should not be moved. But here I am. I'm knocked down. The devil comes out. The Bible says he'll come at you one way, but the Lord will make him flee seven different ways. Amen. The only way that he'll flee seven different ways is when you get a backbone and you tell the devil he has no place in your life. Well, how do you do that, Pastor Lance? How do you do that, Brother Jason? Well, let me tell you, the Bible says you don't take half of the armor, you take all of the armor. In all honesty, if I was to teach you everything I know about deliverance, we wouldn't just be here today, tomorrow, the next day, the next, because I've been walking in deliverance for 16 years, glory, hallelujah, preaching, binding devils in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood ever since I was 16 years old, because I didn't have seminary, to indoctrinate me and tell me what man thought. Now, there's nothing wrong with a good Bible education. There's just something wrong when it comes from man's mind instead of God's mind. And there are some things in there that are just amazing. And then there are some things in there that you just need to just say, whew, boy, was they wrong, right? You know, when you go to a seminary and they're like, well, you know, tongues don't happen anymore. Well, they happen here, glory to God, hallelujah. They didn't stop here, glory to, I'm a tongue-talking, devil-stomping, preaching machine, amen. They happen here, glory to God. The Holy Spirit must have missed that memo, I don't know. Show me in the Bible where it says that ain't happening no more. They're like, well, you know in part, therefore you prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, that which is done, not perfect will be done away with. And they try to say the perfection was the canonization of the Bible. No, when that which is perfect is come is Jesus Christ coming back on the clouds of glory. And we won't need tongues at that point because we will know him like he is. Preacher, I ain't trying to preach. I'm trying to teach, but the Holy Ghost hitting, amen. Y'all better jump in and hang on, amen. So he says unto us, he says, take the whole armor of God. The problem with most Christians is they take their salvation and that's all they have. Let me give you the whole armor of God, all right? I'm not even going to look at my Bible, okay? Y'all look here. Who here can tell me the armor of God? Raise your hand quickly. Go ahead, brother. Come on, give him a round of applause, church. You can tell that man puts on the armor of God, amen? My 10-year-old, every morning when we get up, we pray the armor of God. We say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, hallelujah, and I tie them tight so I'm not stepping out of the shoes of peace and getting into my mind frame instead of being in your mind frame. I take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil, and my goodness, God, I just grab the word of the Lord, which is the sword of the Spirit, because here's the one thing that you got to realize. Six of the armor you can pray on, but the seventh you've got to study on. Amen. Because listen, when the devil comes a knocking, like in the book of Matthew, in the fourth chapter, in the third chapter, Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit came down with fire like a dove. Amen. And God spoke out from heaven, said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And first off, God sends him up to the mountain, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God did not send him until he was equipped. God is about to send y'all out tonight to fight the devil, but he's going to equip you with the power. Some of y'all better grab a hold of the power tonight. Man, I seen you powerful on those drums. You could grab those sticks. You was putting triplets on there. I was like, bro, I'm drumming with you. There's power and anointing behind those drumsticks. Take the power and anointing that's on those drumsticks and go slay a devil. Because there's friends that you have, brother, that you're going to encounter that says, I don't know why, but I want to blow my head off. And you, and the world says, well, you just tell them to go get a shrink. And they shrink back. Is there not power to save and deliver in the name of Jesus? Is there not power over the power of the enemy? Did the Bible not say, behold, I give you power over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you? As we look at the word of God tonight, may we realize that God wants us to have the whole armor. You know, there's some things, I'm feeding y'all with a water hose tonight, Pastor, amen. I wish I could slow it down. I'd stay here for a week, but hallelujah, I got to be in Mount Juliet at the end of next week, amen. So we could go at least a couple days, though, hallelujah. Don't tempt me with a great time, amen. They'll go home without me, and we'll be all right, or they'll stay with me, and then we'll be all right. Glory, hallelujah. We shall not be moved, but nonetheless, as we look here, the helmet of salvation, when somebody has mind control on their life, which is like an octopus, it sets on you and it just sucks the life out of you. You want to get up in the morning and live for the Lord, but you lay in bed depressed, broken, busted, and disgusted. Have you ever been there? And you go to put the helmet on, but it don't fit because mind control's setting on top of you. Until you take mind control off, you can never put the helmet completely on. You hear me? You go to put on the belt of truth, but the devil spoke so many lies over you, it has you bound. You say, I'm not worthy. Hold up. Didn't the Bible say in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter that he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? If I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that makes me worthy. Not because of anything I've done, but because of who you are, I will worship. Come on, that's why, because of who he is, amen? And so when we get that revelation that we got to take off the belt of lies to put on the belt of truth. See, there's a breastplate of righteousness and there's a breastplate of unrighteousness. If you look in the Bible tells you that the devil's description, he says, every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the beryl, the onyx, the ruby, the sapphire, the emerald. Why is that important? Did you know the same stones that is on the devil himself was the same stones that was on the priest? Because the devil wasn't always the devil. He was the anointed cherub that covers, according to the book of Ezekiel in the 37th chapter. Know your Bible and win the fight. So there is a mimicking breastplate that causes heaviness on your life and depression and a weight on your life and sickness and everything else. And if you don't get it off, you can't put God's righteousness on. Better grab a hold of that tonight. I didn't, like I said, the Lord, this is just, I'm drinking from my saucer. My cup's overflowing, man. Glory, hallelujah, amen. All right. So he tells us this. He says, having the shoes of peace. So if you could, here's the thing. Have you ever just walked in a situation and you didn't have peace? Then you didn't have your armor on. And you know what else you didn't have on? Your mind wasn't stayed on the Lord like you claim it was. And so sometimes it's oppression, meaning the outside, and sometimes it's in your mind on the inside trying to pull you out. And if you think about Psalms 23, this is powerful, man of God. Get this in your spirit. In Psalms 23, the Bible says, he anointeth my with oil, my cup runneth over. Do you know why, Pastor, that he anoints his head with oil? Because the sheep go up to the high place. I learned this in Kenya, Africa. A man from Kenya taught me this. He's a shepherd. Zambia, Africa. He said when he was in Zambia, he was a shepherd, and they would go up to the high places, and they would have to pour oil over its head and over its ears, because if not, when they went into the low places, the maggots from the flies would get inside their ears. They would lay eggs and literally drive the sheep so insane that they would jump off of a cliff and kill themselves. So that's why we need the anointing over our mind, so that the devil doesn't get inside our mind and stop our fire. Pastor, I've determined that I'll never step behind a pulpit without the fire of God. I've determined that I'll never step behind a pulpit without saying what God wants me to say, no matter what it causes to happen into my life. We had a woman that got delivered. She came from Maryland, two states away, to West Virginia to get delivered. She was in the occult. She was considered one of the brides of Satan, had a spirit of Lilith in her. She got delivered. Her name is Melissa. She brought 300 pounds of potions, spells, tarot cards, and witchcraft to our ministry when she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And we burnt them in the name of Jesus right there on the property. And right after we did that, we had over 70,000 people, I kid you not, coming online, threatening, calling me every name but my name, putting voodoo, taking voodoo dolls, putting needles inside the voodoo dolls, and I was getting pains inside of my body like I had kidney stones. And had I not realized it was an attack of the enemy, I would have fell into it. But I said, this isn't from the Lord. It didn't come to stay, brother. It came to pass. Amen. So I bound it in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, and I loosed healing over my body in the name of Jesus, and God completely healed me. But you've got to realize that when you help somebody through trials, troubles, and tribulations, and they get delivered, you now have a target on your life. See, the devil doesn't mess with preachers that only tell good stuff. The devil doesn't mess with preachers because he's already got you. He's already got them, Pastor. Half of these preachers that are trying to fill coliseums by whatever they are doing to keep them is what they will have to continue to do to keep them. I'd rather fill the coliseums by teaching the truth. If it doesn't come from the Word of God, it doesn't come out of our mouth. As we look at the scripture, he says that we put on the shoes of peace. There's people that don't have their mind stayed upon peace. The Bible says perfect peace have those whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. If you don't have perfect peace, your mind isn't on the Lord. So get your mind right. You know what? More people need to utilize this altar. I'm surprised, and I'm not saying this in condemnation. I'm surprised that nobody came to the altar today. Why are you surprised, Pastor? Because if we think that an altar means that we're only having bad times and that God doesn't need to alter us, do you think you're perfect? Oh, I didn't know I was. I didn't know I was preaching to a perfect church. I head out the door. I'll go back my 10 hours home and let you stay where you're at. Or we could get this in our spirit and change to who God wants us to be. Romans chapter 12 says, be not conformed to the patterns. He actually says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. How do you get away from mind control? You renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? You get your face out of Facebook and get your face into God's book. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And so as we look here, he talks about the helmet of salvation, and then he says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How many of you can quote one scripture? Raise your hand. How many could quote three scriptures? Raise your hand. 10 scriptures? Raise your hand. 15 scriptures? Raise your hand. 100 scriptures? Raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Why? Okay. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? We can remember everything that we want to remember. So why don't we take time to remember what we need to remember? If the way that we fight is through the Word of God, and the way that we win is through the Word of God, then maybe we should start taking our minds and putting it towards something that really matters instead of stuff that doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter what Brother Bucketmouth is doing on Facebook and social media land. It doesn't matter what they're doing at the Grammys. The world is the world. They'll live like hell until they get heaven inside of their life, amen? It doesn't matter. We need to change their life, but the only way they'll ever change is through Jesus. See, friends, you could change your location. You could change your occupation. You could change your situation. But if you don't change by salvation, your change is just a change, and it means absolutely nothing. We need to change by salvation. And we need to change by taking the Word of God and knowing our salvation and fighting the devil because he wants to tell us we don't have salvation. Because he's mad, brother. He's mad that he has to perish and you don't. He's mad that his end is not yes and amen. It's oh me and oh no. He's mad and I'm glad. He's mad and I'm glad. See, the devil's trying to come against people and I don't care because he's always done that. The question is, what are you going to do about it? You could sit there and be like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. My children are hating me. Well, maybe you should stop being their friends and start being their parent. Amen. Come on, somebody. Shout amen. There's a time to be their friend and there's a time to be their parent. The Bible says train the child in the way that they should go. If your child is training you, you need to get back to training the child. Because when they grow old, they won't depart from it. If you care about them, the Bible says who the Father loves, they chastise. Come on, somebody. We need to realize that God is trying to change us and make us into the people that he wants us to be. But when we just say, well, life's too hard and, well, they don't like me. Nobody's friendly to me. Well, when's the last time you stepped out of your blessed assurance and said hello to somebody? You can't expect everybody to put their hands out when you don't ever give a handout either. You can't. Come on, somebody. Y'all better get that in your spirit tonight. I believe we're fighting the devil, and the devil wants you to give yourself self-pity. But it's coming all the way up, and it's coming all the way out. And as we look at the Word of God, we've got to understand that the only way that you're ever going to get away from self-pity, the only way you're going to ever get away from shame, the only way you're ever going to get away from depression, listen, you could be on Levaquil and whatever, Suboxone or whatever you need to try to equalize yourself, but I promise you, there is no high like the Most High. There is no ghost like the Holy Ghost. There is nothing in this world that can contain you, that can change you the way that the Word of God can change you. And if you will stop using excuses and start using the Word of God, maybe your excuses will stop being your God. Amen, preacher. Glory to God. All right. Oh, whew, Jesus, you're doing good. I'm just talking. Yeah, I used to worry, brother. I used to worry that I'd open my mouth and he'd fill it with air. Like I come up here and I get the baptismal Porky Pig syndrome. What I meant to say, it don't work like that because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth seeks. So God promises, Pastor, that if you put the Word of God in, the Word of God's going to come out. And if people don't like the Word of God, you don't need to change, they do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. All right, check this out. This last thing he says, verse 16, I accidentally skipped it. He said, the shield of faith that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. You need to have faith to come against the devil. Now, I promise you, listen, I know it sounds crazy, but Pastor, we just got through the introduction. We really did, I promise you. I'm not joking. We really just got through the introduction, and I haven't even preached yet. I love Jesus. I have a problem, folks. Let me get down on my knees and just confess it to everybody, okay? I have a serious problem. I'm a believer. I believe everything he says, and that settles it. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all got that same issue? You got that same problem. You believe it? Then receive it in the name of Jesus. That ain't none of that. Oh, I believe the Lord's going to give me a jet and an airplane and a Maserati and a Bugatti and everything else. I believe you are foolish. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen. I believe you better get to work. Giddy up. Hallelujah. But nonetheless, and so he says that we, I love what he says here. So after he says the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, he then says that we need to pray how often? Listen, guys. I've done this so many times. Listen, I ain't new to this. I'm true to this. 16 years preaching the gospel, God took me from the prison to the pulpit. Amen? And one thing that I want you to know, juvenile prison, by the way, I wasn't adult prison, but that was enough for me. All I knew is I needed Jesus. Amen? Here's one thing that I've realized. Many of people do the now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless my mommy, my daddy, and everybody in the whole wide world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good bread, good meat, good God. Let's eat. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's go. Amen, right? Lord, touch and bless him from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Like you need to tell God where he needs to touch somebody. Just lay your hands and be quiet. Whoa, Jesus. Ha. Move, Holy Spirit. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, amen? And the Lord does what he wants to do, and you get out the way, and God will do what he wants to do, amen? God will do, come on, somebody, y'all better grab a hold of that tonight. You get out the way, and God will do what he wants to do. And so as we look at the Word of God, many of people don't pray, and that's why they're spiritually lethargic. They ask God, they think that they pray these little mealy-mouth prayers. God, if you could, would you please, if it be your will. First off, if you know the Word of God, you know God's will. You say, prove that to me, Pastor. Well, the Old Testament is the old will in Testament. The New Testament is the new will in Testament. So everything that God promised in the Word of God belongs to every believer. But you can't grab a hold of it if you don't know it. So I encourage you to know it. I encourage you to know it. I encourage you to study to show yourself approved, a righteous man or woman, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brother, if you can rightly divide it, you could also wrongly divide it. And how many of y'all know that in these last days there are false prophets, and I'm not one of them, amen, hallelujah. A false prophet wouldn't tell you the truth. They'd sugarcoat everything and say you can live however you want. Let me tell you something, you live like hell, that's where you're going. Amen? Amen, preacher. You know, when we look at the Word of God, God has something for us. So you need to put on your whole armor. Let's put it on together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I put on the whole armor of God that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I put on the helmet of salvation. May it guard my mind from all evil. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard my heart from all evil. I put on the belt of truth. May I stand firm in the truth of your word so I will not be a victim to Satan's lies. I put on the shoes of peace. May I stand firm in the good news of the gospel so that I can expose the tempting words of Satan. I take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil. And I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always in prayer and supplication in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, so now you're equipped. Because even right now, the devil's been trying to get some of y'all to say, this is boring, really? You got to yell that much? Dude, we're in church, don't you? I promise you, I'm not trying to beat people to the buffet. We're trying. You can call me Jay. You can call me Ray. You could call me Hey. I don't care what you call me. Don't call me late for fasting. Amen? We'll outfast you in a heartbeat. I'm hungry for the Word of God. I don't want this dead world anymore. How many of y'all want equipped to fight the devil? All right, well, let's get into it. I'm going to lay some background here. We might not get through everything tonight. We might have another teaching tomorrow before deliverance, if that's okay, Pastor. Deliverance is biblical. Remember, Luke 4:18 says that Jesus came to preach deliverance. Okay, go to Mark chapter 1, verse 27. When you get there, shout amen. Mark chapter 1. I got a new Bible. And every page sticks together. Mark chapter 1. All right. And let's go up a little bit. 22 and down. Actually, 21 and down. Why not? And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now, first off, question to you, where was Jesus? Yes, but where was the place? In the church. Notate that. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one who had authority. Underline, highlight, circle the word authority. It means dunamis, dynamite power, explosive firepower. He taught as one that had power, okay? And not as the scribes. So the scribes are people that can talk in excellency of speech, and they can alliterate, you know, the Greek, the Hebrew, and all these things. And yes, it's good, and you get good knowledge. And I love some breaking down teaching step by step, like what we're doing tonight, alliterating everything. And but these people didn't have power. They said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And they talk like this. And there's nothing. There's no anointing but to blow a puff off of a peanut. They're washed up like a toothpick in a bathtub. I'm telling you. And so he says, you mark those words down as powerful. Amen. He said he taught as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue, there was what? In their synagogue. Notice that it wasn't the Lord's synagogue. Let me tell you something. I'm just going to tell you a funny joke because I can. All right? So there was a man that came up to a church. His name was Johnny. Everybody loves Johnny, right? Johnny came in a cowboy hat. In cowboy boots and blue jeans and a nice cowboy shirt. What does that look like? I don't know. I'm not a cowboy, but that's what he came in, okay? And so he came to the pastor, and the pastor said, hello, I'm Pastor so-and-so. Nice to meet you. What's your name? He said, my name's Johnny. He said, okay. And this wasn't the Johnny that went down to Georgia or anything. It was a different Johnny, okay? So this Johnny came to the pastor, and he was shaking his hand. He said, man, I'm so thankful to have you here tonight. The next time you come here, I want you to ask God what you're supposed to wear. So the next Sunday, he came in the same get-up, the same 10-gallon hat on his head, and he seen brother, pastor, whatever his name was, we'll call him Bucket Mouth for love, hallelujah, and he said, Johnny, good to see you. I thought I told you to ask God what you're supposed to wear when you come to this church. He said, I did. He said, well, what did God say? He said, I don't know. I've never been there. Amen? Come on, somebody. Y'all better grab a hold of that tonight. And so... most churches, it's their church. The problem is that people call the building the church. You won't find that in the Bible. You're the church. In the moment that the building becomes the church, the crack addict kills himself. Suicide happens. With little girls at 14 years old start having babies. And we say, well, why? Because you ain't been a parent and you've let them out on the street and you failed them. That's why. But you can even get delivered from that too. Come on. God loves the failure just like he loves the person who's not failing. If we don't tell somebody that there's a problem, there'll never be a solution, Pastor. And so here we find that he was in their synagogue, and in their synagogue was a man. And this man had a what? unclean spirit. First off, for anybody who don't believe spirits and demons are real, you haven't read the book of Mark. You go back, read the book of Mark. The entire book of Mark is about demons. The entire book, starting at the first chapter, all the way to the last chapter. The entire book is about demons, casting out demons, and the power over demons. Why? Because we need to know it. And the reason that the church is so lethargic and has no power, because they just play patty cake with demons and they call it OCD and they call it depression and they call it PTSD. And I'm not saying that PTSD is not real. I'm not saying what you've been through wasn't real. I'm not saying that the person who abused you never should have abused you, because they shouldn't have. I'm not saying the person that raped you never should have raped you. But when you don't allow forgiveness to happen, that holds you in bondage instead of you holding it in bondage. And so there was a man inside the synagogue who had an unclean spirit. Most unclean spirit comes from unclean actions in life. And this man, the Bible says, cried out loud. That's why when we do deliverance, most likely we do deliverance tonight, people are going to start screaming. It's going to get wild, wild west up in here. People are going to start gagging. Why? Because demons are coming out of their throat. And just like when something comes through your throat, it reflexes a gag reflex. It's not that there are demons in your spit. It's that there are demons in your flesh. And when you get them out, sometimes they make you cough. Everybody reacts differently. When I got delivered, it was in three stages. I'll tell you that. The first time was from lust, and I desired no longer to look at things that I used to look at on the internet. Come on, somebody. Praise God for that. Amen. At least I'm man enough to say that I'm not the man that I used to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. Amen. I am getting to where I want to be and where the Lord wants me to be. Amen. And the second time was sickness. I had a spirit of infirmity, and that I threw up in the name of Jesus, and God completely delivered me. In 2020, even as a pastor, I disobeyed God. Just like this man gave a legal right and allowed demons inside of his life, I disobeyed God. God said on May the 18th for me to leave my job. Now, friends, I was making $75,000 a year, and the next year I was supposed to make $125,000. I preached the gospel for 16 years for absolutely free. I couldn't see charging someone for the gospel. And even tonight, y'all took up an offering for me. I don't put it in my pocket. I put it in the ministry, and we help people. Amen. We got an outreach center. We got a homeless shelter. We got a kindergarten through 12th grade Christian school. Glory, hallelujah. We got a lot going on in Franklin, West Virginia. It's a poke and plum town, but God's moving. Amen. When God delivered me, he delivered me. I disobeyed God. I lost my ability to preach, ability to talk, ability to walk. I had a stroke. At least that's what we thought it was. I lost the ability to do it all. And my wife sat down and she interceded on my behalf. Just in case that's mine. Somebody check your keys. Not mine. Hallelujah. You know what that is? The devil doesn't want you to get this tonight. Nonetheless, he's mad, and I don't care. I'm glad. Amen. My wife prayed over me, and God healed me instantly. God healed me instantly. I kid you not. For 2 months, I couldn't walk other than she walked me to the bathroom, right? Set me down on the toilet. I got back up, and I tried to have conversations with my kids, and all I could do was just continue to just stutter the whole time. I couldn't do anything. They said I had brain fog. Pastor Locke was praying. We were in Flint Hill, Virginia, and I got delivered from that. God set me free, okay? I'm going to lay the foundation here, all right? The third time, my marriage was in shambles. My wife told me, she said, I'm leaving you. And in front of 3,500 people, God broke me in a deliverance conference. And I said, God, I've been a terrible husband, but an excellent pastor. So if you'll help me to be a better husband, I'll continue to be the pastor you've called me to be. And I got down on my knees and I cried the first person to the altar. That night we had helped about 175 people get delivered from thousands of demons in a night. But the Lord broke me, and I got down at the altar and I cried and I sobbed for about an hour and a half uncontrollably. And when I got up there, I was a new man. The Lord said, Jason, I want you to fast. For 8 days straight, I drank water and did nothing else but pray and fast, water only. Lost 25 pounds in 8 days. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was so strong, my wife was in bondage when I got home, and she's a Christian. She had a spirit of mockery and a Jezebel spirit on her. I laid down on the bed, and she laid her head. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I just got home from Mount Juliet, Tennessee. She laid her head on my chest, and she started laughing uncontrollably like a crazy lunatic. And I looked at her. I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth by the power of the blood. And on the bed, she got delivered. My son Matthew, 10-year-old Matthew that y'all seen, hundreds of thousands of people seen that young man do the deliverance prayer. He's known for that. He's in the Come Out in the Name of Jesus movie with Pastor Greg. That young boy said to me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to murder you. Started manifesting demons. I led him to Christ at 8 years old inside of an apartment complex, but I didn't know when I allowed things like Pokemon, you could say what you want, things like Frozen inside of my house, a lot of Disney stuff that had witchcraft on it. It allowed curses, hexes, and vexes inside of my house. Well, the anointing of the Holy Ghost was so strong that we were in Harrisonburg, Virginia. We were in this place called Gabe's. Hallelujah. It's like an outfitter for people that doesn't want to pay the expensive price, right? I like Gabe's, hallelujah. Good stuff for cheap, hallelujah. Better than Ollie's, but nonetheless, this is not brought to you by them, hallelujah. My son starts manifesting demons inside. I'm just shooting from the hip here. We'll get back there, I promise you. Sometimes I chase a squirrel just because you need it, amen? We'll get there in a moment. And so my son starts manifesting inside of the store, and my son had never been a violent kid. He started punching me. And I looked him in the eye, I said, this isn't Matthew. I seen his eyes were solid black. I said, you devil. And the Lord said, don't you do it. They will call CPS on you in a heartbeat. Don't you do it. Not the time and not the place. You got to recognize that just because you have the authority doesn't mean you flex it. Some of the teaching for some of y'all tonight is that you have the power, but you need to know when to use it and when not. We get home. I call up our elders of our church. I say, y'all get down here. It's about to be wild, wild west at my house in the name of Jesus. I start binding the devil in the name of Jesus. He starts screaming about an hour and a half of him beating the tarnations out of me. I said, I bind your hands to the ground. His hands would go straight to the ground. He couldn't move his hands. He's trying to swing. He's trying to kick. He's trying to punch. He's lifting up 3 grown men, 10 years old. I'd bind him in the name of Jesus, not with actual cords, but with the word of God, and he'd break it. Bind him, he'd break it. Bind him, he'd break it. About an hour and a half, this kid gets delivered and he falls out like he's dead. Lays on the floor for like 15 minutes. I'm like, he's alive! Hallelujah. Got delivered, came up a different person, and now that 10-year-old helps us do deliverance at Redeeming Grace. Amen. My son Caden got delivered. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, listen, these are godly kids. Never said a cuss word a day in their life. Take that back. Caden might have said one. Matthew never said a cuss word a day in his life. So it made no sense why this came in other than I gave legal right. We went through our house and we burned every single thing that was of the devil. Some of y'all are going to get delivered tonight. You're going to have to go back home and take out a lot of the trash that you've allowed in there. And I'd say 99.9% of Disney movies is nothing but witchcraft and a cult. You don't believe it? You do the research. Don't believe me. It doesn't say that in the Bible, okay? But the Bible says clean your house. So you let the Holy Spirit lead you. Witchcraft is witchcraft. Oh, it took forever for me to convince my wife that, though, because she loved that little Elsa thing. Had a stronghold on her. My daughter looked beautiful. 3-year-old, 2-year-old looked beautiful dressed up in Elsa dresses. And the Lord said, burn every one of them. You know what? The one thing that didn't burn in the fire, and the fire was so hot, I'd walk. I'd be right here, and the fire was there. I went any closer, and here my eyebrows got singed. And for 15 minutes, that little Elsa doll stayed inside of that fire and did not burn. Witchcraft. Witchcraft, church. I kid you not. Witchcraft. We broke the generational curses. We bound the devil in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. And my family is walking in deliverance. When you get truly delivered, you shouldn't go back. We're going to teach how to not go back into bondage, okay? You need to go from deliverance to dominion. When God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, he delivered them and brought them to the promised land for them to fight. You understand? You need to move from deliverance to dominion. You get delivered, then you get the armor on, and then you go fight. Amen? Get that in your spirit, okay? So we're looking here. We're in the book of Mark in the first chapter. And again, the context here is that deliverance is biblical. I'm telling you testimonies because the Bible clearly says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our... So what I'm telling you is Bible, okay? So I'm not stepping out of the context, and if I do, sit me down, shut me up. Okay, I mean that, right? It comes straight from the word of God. You said you wanted the truth. You said you wanted teaching. Do y'all still want it? Let's keep going. Your car might be blocked in by now anyway. There's so many people here. So if you don't, you might be stuck with us. Ha! Jesus is king. Amen. All right, so he says this. He says there was a man in the synagogue with a what? Unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. Notice the man talked in third person mode. Let us. Hold up, you a man. Why are you saying us? Because there is demons in him. Yeah, it's exactly. That's why schools are getting shot up and people don't know what their sexual identity is and everything else. That's exactly why. The Bible clearly says there is male and female, okay? But can I tell you, it's so easy for us to point our fingers, and I just want to say this in love, guys. God loves the homosexual just like he does the lesbian, just like he does us. And if we don't do something, listen, you better get that in your spirit, because God wants to save them. And if you don't care about them enough, maybe you need deliverance. I'm telling you right now, I'm a pastor, and my own flesh and blood brother and sister both claim to be gay. I witness to them. One of them completely discommunicates me most of the time now. But I've done my job to tell them the truth because I know that heaven is real and hell is real. So I'm telling you from a real experience. I've been through some things, folks. Let's keep going. He said, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice. Notice the devil didn't come out. Oh, I'll come out. Jesus didn't say, well, devil, if you pretty, pretty, please, would you please come out? I know you've been with him since he was a kid and you're about to have some separation anxiety, devil, you know, you unclean thing. There, it'll be all right, friend. You don't deliver people by, listen, this is deliverance 101, okay? You don't deliver people by like, brother, it's going to be okay. You just get that thing out of you, brother. It's going to be all right. Cough it out. Help it along, brother. Well, that was the black lung right there. Come out in the name of Jesus. You don't do it like that. You look the devil straight in the eye. You say, come out of him in the name of Jesus. And if he doesn't come out, then he has a legal right. Now, I'm going to go from what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. I have so many different scriptures that I could teach you. We'll go into it again tomorrow. But the Lord is telling me to teach you how to do deliverance. You need to know that deliverance is biblical. I'm going to lay a couple more foundation. Note this. Glory to God. Devil's already going to start manifesting anyway, and we're coming all the way up and all the way out, Bubba. Come on. So he said, when that unclean spirit had toward him, he cried with a loud voice and came out of him, and they were all amazed, and so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What, notice this, is this not what we're hearing today? What new doctrine is this? Is that not what we're hearing today? They're like, Pastor Greg locks a cult. Let me tell you something. First off, anybody that don't know Pastor Greg, he's one of my closest friends in the entire world. He's been my brother for 7 years. I've known him before he had one of the largest churches in Tennessee. We preach the gospel together. We have meals together. He's a great friend of mine. The man's not in a cult. The man is a true man of God. I don't worship Greg. I worship Jesus. But I love what God is doing in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. And people say, what type of new gospel is this? It is not a new gospel. If you read your Bible, you will find that Jesus fed the multitudes, the thousands, twice. But there's sermon and sermon and sermon and sermon and sermon preached on it. Jesus walked on water once. And there's sermon and sermon and sermon and sermon preached on it. Jesus healed a man that was dropped down from a roof, paraplegic, laying down on a bed in the middle of everything once. And we preach a sermon and sermon and sermon and sermon on it. 2/3 of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons and the church shuts up. 2/3. 2/3 of what Jesus did was casting out devils in his name. And we shut up about it and we hush, hush. Oh, don't say anything. If you say a devil's name, you give him power. Hold up. The devil don't have power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And in the name of Jesus, you gotta go. It's not a new doctrine. It's the same doctrine, and it was the very first doctrine that Jesus did. Jesus turned the water into wine once, and people still use it this day to get drunk, but the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and those that partake of it are not wise. You're not wise if you drink alcohol. You're very unwise, and you're not living holy when you do. And guess what? You drink alcohol, you got demons, I promise you. 100% you got demons. Even if it's on a lawnmower in the summertime and it's a hot day and you just want to get a cool Budweiser, Bud, you better get wiser. Amen. I promise you, you drink alcohol, you got demons. I promise you, you smoke cigarettes, you got demons. I promise you, you got addiction, you got demons. And tonight, if you want them gone, they're coming all the way up and they're coming all the way out. Glory, hallelujah. I didn't come to play patty cake with demons and pat you guys on the back. I came here tonight to get you people free, to tell the devil to let God's people go. I feel the fire in this place that is going to set people free. The problem with most people is they are copycats and they want to be robots. They don't want the true anointing because it costs them everything. One of the first problems I ever had doing deliverance, I was at a church in Rigg, West Virginia. And kind of like you, there was a brother that was amazing at drumming. And we had a prayer line that was 50 people deep. I'm like, my goodness, I ain't ever getting out of here tonight. Glory, hallelujah. This is what I've been praying for. Amen. So we just start praying, and I'm laying hands on them, and the Lord just boom, 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 boom. They're just dropping like flies. God's giving me a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and the Lord's just moving in a powerful way. And we get to that last person, and he had demons in his life. I didn't know it. He starts full-blown manifesting, trying to fist fight in the middle of the church, and he was just drumming. Just like you were. Full manifestation, drumming, anger. And then so one of the people said he wouldn't let it go. I couldn't get him free. We fought for 3 hours, and finally I said, you know what? You don't want to let it go. Now, some people did some unorthodox things like throwing water on him. They shouldn't have done that. When you first start and you don't know, you should learn first. Like Isaiah went down. First time a demon manifested, he had just got saved. He opened up the woman's mouth. I know you're in there and you're coming out. Totally unorthodox. Smacked her with some water. Come out. It's not biblical, okay? But, you know, sometimes desperate times called for desperate measures. You do what you can. I feel bad because we didn't follow what the Word of God said, and I repented. I didn't mean to. But the Lord taught me something in my failures, that I'm not perfect. And that if I would submit myself to him, resist the devil would flee. So then I said, okay, Lord, there's something to this deliverance. We've been casting out demons. We could have casted out devils, but I always believed that a Christian could not have a demon because 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, know you not that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And do you not know that we're the temple of God is, right? We always use that God could not dwell with wickedness. Well, you're misquoting that scripture. It has nothing to do with demons. That scripture is talking about, hold your children's ears for a moment, please. Seriously, hold your children's ears, unless you're okay with them hearing some PG-13 stuff. Okay, praise God. That scripture is talking about sexual sin. The son was sleeping with his stepmother. That's what the Word of God says. It was fornication in the church, and the Bible says that, do you not know your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? And most people use that, oh, Christians can't have tattoos. See, the scripture says. That's not what the scripture's saying, okay? We're not here to debate tonight. I'm not here to take over your church. I'm not here to, listen, when I leave here, he has to deal with the mess that I've caused in the name of Jesus, amen? Well, I love evangelizing, but I'm very respectful to the fact that this is not my pulpit and this is not my house. This is God's house and this is his pulpit, and I honor you, man of God. Am I right on point? Do I need to sit down? I'm good, okay. Just checking. All right? And so God will teach you. Now that we've got past the fact that Christians can't have demons in their flesh, not in their soul, they cannot be possessed in their soul. If they're possessed in their soul, they're not Christians. They said a prayer. You know, many people say, you said the sinner's prayer, you got saved. That's not what the Bible says. You will not find that in the Bible anywhere. That's not biblical. You say, well, no, wait, Romans chapter, listen, I'll quote you the Romans Road. Are you ready? You know that guy that knows hundreds of scriptures? It's this guy. You're looking at him. I read the Bible for fun. Okay? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, but God commends his love toward us that, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so even though we sinned, Jesus died for us. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages or the payment of your sin is death, but there is a gift of God, which is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then he says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth man confesses unto righteousness, but with the heart man believes unto repentance. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 tells us, for all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we say, well, you know, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart. How do you know what you believe? The Bible says, I believe, therefore I spoke, therefore I believe. If you're ashamed of Jesus, Jesus will be ashamed of you. There's a scripture that says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils? Did we not speak with new tongues? Did we not do all these things? And he will say unto them, depart from me, I've never known you. The word known is a relationship with. Religion will send you straight to hell, but a relationship with God will bring you right to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't win your way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. Did you know that the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies is called the way, the truth, and the life? So when Jesus said unto the Pharisees, he says, I'm the outer court, I'm the inner court, and I'm the holies of holies. And they got a burr underneath their bristle, and they got mad, and they got offended, but the truth is the truth, and they could take it up or they could spit it out. But at the end of the day, any of you could be offended at me. But if you're offended because of what I say and you hate me because of what I say, you don't hate me, you hate Jesus. And that's the Word of God. And so, Pastor, how do we get power over the power of the enemy? Okay, well, let's go there in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Man, I'll tell you, I'd like to just teach you all these principles of why Christians can have demons. But I recognize it. I want to give you power, what the Word of God says too. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. See, y'all thought I was kidding when I said I just was getting warmed up. We're about one quarter through the sermon. For real, though. That's funny. I like the joy in your heart. That's the Lord. All right, Romans chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, just plain. Glad y'all are paying attention. Just checking you, though, you know what I'm saying? Just checking you. Luke chapter 10, start at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto who? Us, through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from where? Heaven. Okay, that happened between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. But nonetheless, that's for free. Tell your neighbor. All right. Verse 18 said that. Verse 19 says, behold. The word behold means look. I give power. That word is dunamis. It's the Greek word for dynamite, explosive power. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So how do you fight the devil? You fight the devil with firepower. Amen. Want a snake's at your house? You blow it up. Come on, somebody. Amen. How much Tannerite do we need? Jesus is king. Amen. And so he said, I give you power over the power of the enemy, scorpions and serpents, demons and devils, okay? Over all the power, which is principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 6, all right? And then he says, but notwithstanding in this, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, or your name is written in heaven. I misquoted because I was just quoting from my head. But rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Where is it written in heaven? The Lamb's book of life. So it's not a misquote. I'm just telling you, okay? And so we need to be thankful that we have power over the devil, because our brothers and sisters can be free and we can be free. But more importantly, we need to rejoice that we're going to make it to heaven. And not just that we're going to make it to heaven, but we're going to have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Amen? Isn't that powerful that we'd have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in? Amen? That's the Lord's Prayer. As a matter of fact, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus even said, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Which, by the way, tell your neighbor this is for free. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. Just wanted to educate you for a moment. I'm a walking encyclopedia of the Bible. I can't help it. All right? He says, Our Father, which art in heaven. Help me out. Stop. You misquoted it. In earth as it is in heaven. Who said that? Where you at? Glory to God. Come on, sister. Woo! In earth as it is in heaven. All right, keep going. Stop there for a second. Some of you will get into depression, work yourself sick, work 3 to 4 jobs because you don't trust God to provide for your family. And God won't provide the way that he needs to provide because you won't trust him to do so. You keep taking everything out of your own hands. You want the monthly bread, and God's trying to provide the daily bread. Amen. Come on. Some of y'all better grab a hold of that tonight, glory to God. Somebody's like, Pastor, I'm retired. That don't apply to me. I got my monthly bread. I said, come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's keep going. All right, that's powerful, though. All right, keep going. Give us this day our daily bread. All right, you could tell that some of the younger and some of the older said two different things, because in the Bible it was actually changed. One time it used to, long, long time ago, used to say trespasses, and then later on they changed it to debts. Okay, means the same word, nonetheless. Notice the key to getting free and what Jesus wanted you to do was forgive those who have done wrong to you, because he's forgave you. The number one thing that will block anybody's deliverance is unforgiveness. If you won't forgive the person who hurt you, raped you, molested you, mistreated you, cussed you out, fired you, beat you, abandoned you, your mom, dad walked out on you, you will not receive deliverance, because deliverance has to come through forgiveness. Amen. All right, so forgive us our debts or trespasses, as though we forgive those who have debted or trespassed against us, and lead us into temptation, but, so hold up, throw the Jake break, somebody say, brrr. Y'all sounded like a Yeti, do it better this time, brrr. That's the Jake breaks right there, all right? I drove all the way down here with a truck driver, and all he talked about was truck driving. No, I'm just playing. We talked about Jesus the whole time, amen? But nonetheless, he said, so deliver us from evil. So if Christians, now, Jesus was not talking to the sinner when he gave him this prayer. So why did the disciples need delivered? Come on, preacher. That's powerful right there. That's a word from the Lord, right, man? Because Jesus was trying to say that deliverance is the children's bread. It is for the believer, not for the unbeliever. Christians need deliverance. Unsaved folk need salvation. And complete salvation encompasses deliverance, and that's why two-thirds of what Jesus preached was deliverance and casting out demons. A lot of times what people have in their life causes them to be sick because they gave a legal right. So here's the depth of teaching. Are you ready? Say this with me and write it down if you can. Go back and replay it if you can't. Say, my life is a courtroom. Say that again. My life is a courtroom. Okay, what do you mean? God is the judge. The Father is the judge. Jesus is the advocate. He's our attorney. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Come on, girl. Preach it, girl. I'm going to get hot. Woo, Jesus. That's good right there, amen. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's the prosecuting attorney. And the Holy Spirit determines the truth. Let me ask you something. We're saved by, through faith, lest any man should boast. Does it mean because we're saved by grace that we won't sin? Does it mean because we are saved by grace that we're allowed to sin? Does it mean that the consequences are taken away from us because we have grace? Yes and no. The consequence of us going to hell was born on Jesus at the cross. Through salvation. What is sin? When you know to do right and you do wrong, it's sin unto you. The Apostle Paul, even filled with the Holy Spirit, did that in the book of Romans chapter 7. We'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow night, and we'll talk about 16 reasons why Christians can have demons, and you're going to see a lot of people get free in the name of Jesus. But tonight I'm going to talk to you about how to get them out of your life and how to help others. Okay, so we've got to understand our life is a courtroom. The devil is who? The accuser or the prosecuting attorney. Jesus is who? Our lawyer, right? And who is God? The Father? The judge. And the Bible clearly states everything that I'm telling you. It's all biblical. It's all scriptural, okay? I'm not, this is all straight from the Word of God. I'm just teaching you here. If you want me to break down verse by verse, I most certainly will, but we will be here till tomorrow. That's a promise. And I don't mind that. Listen, if you've been to Redeeming Grace in this house, stand up in the name of Jesus. Look around, y'all. See that? We on the other side. We 10 hours away from Redeeming Grace. Hallelujah. All right, how many of y'all know, if you've been in the services at least till 4 o'clock in the morning, stay standing. We don't play when it comes to the Word of God. We hungry. Amen? I want the Word. You may be seated in the presence of God. So you've got to realize that we're in a court battle. When you know to do right and do wrong, it's sin unto you. Let me give it to you this way. If you go out and you steal, what's going to happen? If you get caught. So the devil wants to get you caught. But when Jesus has forgiven you, he can't catch you. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, hallelujah. When Jesus has forgiven you, it's been wiped off your record. I all too well know that because, listen, folks, I'm not proud of it, but again, I'm not the man that I used to be, okay? I was a drug dealer and a gang member. I sold Oxycontin and Xanax on school property, and I was involved with the Crips and Green Set. God saved my life. At 15 years old, we moved pills from West Virginia to Kentucky to Ohio to back in a backpack and sold them in school. I had 3 felonies by the age of 15. When I turned 18, I was able to get them expunged off my record because I stayed clean. Okay? Jesus is the expunger of our record. Come on, somebody. Amen. I could imagine a court folder with your name on it. And Jesus just throws the papers out, shreds them, and puts his portfolio in there. And they're like, what are you talking about? This dude ain't been a reckless driver. DUI, what do you mean? It ain't even there. Everything that you've ever done has been thrown away in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. But you know, the problem with most Christians is God forgets it, but you keep bringing it up and throwing it in everybody else's face. And that's why you need deliverance, because you haven't let go of the hurt. Come on, somebody, you better get a hold of that tonight. So how do you confront the devil? We're going to go through 7 steps. Good friend of mine, Isaiah Salvador, come on, praise God, teaches on this as well. I've had a little bit of Jay Boggs in there, hallelujah, but it's all Holy Ghost, hallelujah, nonetheless. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 through 17, the first thing you got to realize, not Matthew, Mark, just playing, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, 15 through 17, when you get there, shout amen. Okay, and it reads this, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Okay, first off, I'm not going to get into a lot of theological ideas on that part. I will tell you that the thief on the cross was not baptized and he still made it to glory land. Amen. And so we're talking of, I believe the scripture is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit where we are sealed unto the day of redemption. But I don't know what your pastor preaches here, and I'm not going to preach against. This is what I believe the word of God is saying. This is not the context of what I'm talking about tonight, but look at this next verse. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall what? So, how many believers do we have in here? Keep your hands up for a moment. How many of you have casted out demons? Raise your hand. How many of you have casted them out, though? Okay, so this tells me that if you haven't, it's time to get started. Amen? And thank God that you helped. That's a start. Glory be to God. You're going to help in the name of Jesus anyway. Amen? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. If we're all being honest, none of us ever do it. We just help. Jesus is King. Come on, church. So we don't deny. Listen, a lot of the cessationists don't deny the fact that we're to preach the gospel to every creature, and definitely the Baptists don't deny the fact that you need to be baptized to be saved or you'll be damned. But they definitely are like, oh, hold up, that casting out devils, you know, that was for a different time. The first thing you need to realize if you want to see deliverance is that you've got the power. Come on, somebody, amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. They will cast out devils and speak with new tongues. What happened when the believers started believing? They started casting out devils. They started speaking in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I do a teaching on the Holy Spirit and the 3 different types of the Holy Spirit. Go online and listen to it. But tonight we're talking about demons. Amen. Hallelujah. Nonetheless, Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 through 20. You know, this is a scripture that is very misunderstood. Many of people understand binding, but they don't understand loosing. And you cannot loose if you don't know the word of God, so you're not properly working if you don't bind and loose. Binding and loosing comes together as a one thing. So if you want to get a demon out of somebody's life, you have to do this. Matthew chapter 18, 18 through 20. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if you shall two agree on anything touching on earth, as they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is heaven. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. How many of y'all want to dive deep tonight? Now, you might not know this. Let me ask you the question. Is this scripture New Testament or Old Testament? Raise your hand if it's new. Raise your hand if it's old. What constitutes a testament? The testator has to die. Had Jesus died at this point, then it's Old Testament. Why is that important for us to understand? Because you don't need two or three there in the midst for God to be there. The Bible says you get saved, you got the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. That's powerful. Look at your neighbor and say that had absolutely nothing to do with any of that, but it's for free. All right. So looking at the context here, it's actually both, because after Jesus died on the cross, it became New Testament. But at this point, it was Old Testament. Nonetheless, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So you have to bind the strong man in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. You have to bind the strong man in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. What do you loose? You go to the book of Acts, you go to the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Paul will say things like this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. Peace, grace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He loosed peace because you don't have peace. He loosed grace because you've been sinning a lot. He loosed mercy because you deserve what God is not going to give you. You deserve hell, but mercy and grace has withheld you from it. And so when people are sinning and they have demons in their life, it doesn't mean they're a bad person. There's just bad devils. And so we've got to get away from, oh, well, they've got demons in their life. They're no longer a man or woman of God. That's a lie from you know where. Okay? Okay. So number one, write this down. Deliverance is for the people of God. They have to be saved in order to receive deliverance. You cannot receive deliverance if you are not saved. Because the only thing that keeps demons from coming back into your life is you not giving a legal right because you've got the blood of Jesus Christ. All right? We prove this with Mark chapter 7, verse 24, and Matthew chapter 22, which calls deliverance the children's bread. Everyone who wanted delivered came to Jesus for it. Remember the man in the guardians that went out of the tombs and came unto Jesus, and he says, what have I to do with you? And, you know, every single one of them came to him. Any of them that were vexed with devils came to him. Anybody that truly wants deliverance will come to him. What I will not do is go to you and make you get delivered tonight. You're the one that's going to suffer, not me. You want deliverance? You want to get out of sin? You want to stop looking at pornography? You want to stop lusting? You want to stop thinking about your ex-spouse and you've been not married to that person for so many of years and stop having dreams about them? Then you've got to get delivered. Because you've got a soul tie that needs broken. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45, also declares what we're talking about, okay? It talks about the strong man. You'll bind the strong man, okay? And spoil his goods and you'll get him out. Number two, you have to lead them through renouncing and forgiveness. The word renouncing is the same word as repenting, okay? If you don't repent of your sins, you cannot be delivered from your sins, okay? If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Jesus said, forgive or you will not be forgiven, okay? It's plain and simple. So whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says, forgive or Satan has an advantage over you, okay? Number three, confront and call out the demon. Okay, so you got to look the devil square in the eyes. You're not messing with the people. You're not telling the person, hey, quit smoking dope. Well, it came from the earth. So did poison berry. Stop being stupid. Get delivered in the name of Jesus. I promise you, marijuana, I don't care if you got a medical card for it, it's still a sin. And you're opening a gateway to demons in your life, and you need to stop it. Oh, I got glaucoma. We'll get delivered. Do you not believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Stop giving excuses as to why you want to sin and feel good about it. Amen or ouch, I don't care whichever one you want to say. You need to note that demons are comfortable in churches and they like to hide in plain sight. You know the best way to hide something is to hide it in plain sight. Devil's very comfortable in churches. We find that most of the time when Jesus casted demons out, they were in the synagogue. or they were among dead things. And there's a lot of dead churches. They're as dead. They're as dead as a doorknob. They're as dead as a three-day corpse. They're as deader than Lazarus in a tomb when he didn't come forward. They're colder than a mother-in-law's kiss. There's a lot of churches you walk inside. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of churches that you walk inside and there's no fire. There's no anointing. There's not enough anointing to blow a puff off of a peanut. I got the Holy Ghost on me right now. I feel him. Amen. There's anointing in this place. Amen. There's power in this place. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of churches that have a lot of demons because that church is dead. And unless they come alive, Jesus will take their ministry. That's what the book of Revelation says. And guess what? We're living in those days. And God's going to just take a lot of ministries, a lot of these big ministries that are out there building a name for themselves, building a platform for themselves. God will allow them to fall because the Bible says pride becomes before the fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. You got to bind the devil in the name of Jesus back to the abyss. In Luke chapter 8, verse 31, Romans chapter 10, verse 7, Revelations 9, 17, and 20. All those chapters are about binding the devil. I'm giving to this a little bit faster than I want to, but I want to make sure that you're getting the word tonight, okay? Mark chapter 1, Acts chapter 8, verse 7, talks about people screaming as they leave them. And Mark chapter 9, verse 26, talks about people having seizures and convulsions when demons come out of them. And then they laying down like they're dead people, lifeless. So there's many a different things that happen when people get delivered, but not everybody gets delivered the same way. Some people yawn, some people burp it out, some people flatulate, some people scream and cry, some people just sob uncontrollably. Some people start cussing inside of this church, I'm telling you. It will happen. Let me tell you something, I've seen it, and don't get all holier than thou on people, because I promise you that devil's coming all the way up and all the way out, and he's ticked off and he's mad. I've had demons look me square in the eyes and say, you've got anointing and I don't like you. And I said, good, you're coming out now in Jesus' name. And they're like, aah! Start screaming, convulsing, rolling on the floor, throwing up demon vomit. They get delivered, laid down on the floor. The person comes up and says, where am I? Kid you not. Seen it time and time again. We've cast out thousands and thousands of demons from people, hundreds of thousands of demons, but at least thousands of people we've helped get set free to the glory of God in Jesus Christ's name. Find out why it won't leave. They will try to trick you that you don't have the power to take them out. Now, some of them will not leave because you don't pray and fast. Some people take that scripture that says these kind come out only by prayer and fasting and believe that the demon didn't come out because you didn't fast before you came here. Let me tell you, folks, the reason for prayer and fasting is to remove your doubt. Once the doubt is out of the way, you don't have to worry about praying it. You don't have to worry about fasting before every deliverance. Now, it's still a good thing, but I have you know, we ate at that one place. I don't know where it's at, but it was good, son. Hallelujah. And guess what? Ain't no doubt. What was it called? MLS or what? MCL. Hallelujah. We all know. Y'all got an inside joke on that around here. We know what it is. Hallelujah. But nonetheless, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Nonetheless, here's what I want to tell you. Ain't no devil going to look me in the eyes and say, you don't have power to get me out. I say, oh, really? You coming up and you coming out now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I bind you by the power of the blood and the Holy Spirit. Come out. And they're going to come out in the name of Jesus. Because I know my authority. The problem is most people don't know their authority because they don't have authority. They don't walk in it. They don't have anointing. They haven't submitted their life to Christ. They're still smoking Newports, Marlboro Red 72s. They're still cussing like a sailor, using God's name in vain and calling themselves a Christian. Shame on them. You need anointing and you need power, and you will have all the power that you want. Listen, friends, when I gave my heart to Jesus, I didn't want to smoke dope anymore. I drank Bacardi 151, Smirnoff Ice, vodka, rum. I mean, like Lori Calvert, Crown Royal. I mean, you name it, I did it. I'm telling you truth. But man, there's no high like the Most High. I'm telling you, I got a Holy Ghost high that I don't need that anymore. Listen, I cast out devils for fun, amen. I'm telling you the truth. There is nothing more exciting other than people getting saved, which I do that for fun too, hallelujah. It's so fun to see my brothers and sisters knowing that they're not going to go to hell anymore, knowing that they're not going to the lake of fire anymore, knowing that I could be like Moses and draw them out. It's fun, church, it's fun. The reason you have a boring life is because you're not living the life of a Christian, you're living a life of a religious nut. But if you're at least going to be a nut, you better be screwed on the right bolt. So we got to look at this. He says, find out why it won't leave, okay? Devils have legal rights. If you don't break the legal right, they won't go. Your life is a courtroom. Remember that, okay? So people say, you're not supposed to talk to devils. Oh, that's not biblical. You saying that, Jesus talked to devils. He had conversations with them. Now you don't say, hey, can I take you out to lunch? I just want to know why you're so strong and want to know why the last time you spanked me and sent me running. I'm telling you, you don't do that. But can I tell you, if you don't know your authority, you will get beat up by a devil? We had a person that was part of our team that wasn't living where they needed to be, and we didn't know it at the time. We were doing like the 13th deliverance every single Sunday. Like after I preach on Sunday night, we have a deliverance service, and I told God, if nobody manifests, then we'll go home. Well, there's not a time where that doesn't happen. I mean, somebody gets delivered every single week. Every single week, hundreds of thousands of people. People come in from all across the United States of America to a poke and plum town in West Virginia. I promise you, there's nothing great about that town other than Jesus. I don't even like the town. Glory to God. And I live there. Just saying, right? And so this person wasn't living right, and I was standing beside him. And this woman, full of demons, looked up and said, I know him. Man's voice, woman. I know him, but who are you? And I'm talking about, I still got God bumps. Look at my hair standing up everywhere. I said, did that devil just tell you you have no power? He went to the altar, repented, came back. Said, I said, you come out in the name of Jesus. She's like, came out. But we removed him, that person, until he got where he needed to be, and now he's a demon slayer. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep an honest person down. When they're trying to live right and trying to do good for God, you can't just keep throwing their past up to them. Amen? And so you got to find out what its legal right is. The book of Mark in the 5th chapter talks when Jesus actually talked to demons. He asked them, what is your name? Well, if you're not supposed to have a conversation, why would he ask, what is your name, okay? And so you need to find out what allows it to stay in there. Many a times it's unforgiveness. Many a times it's hurt. Many a times it's pain. Many a times it's depression. Many a times it's they were raped as a child. They were abandoned. Their mother said, I don't love you. You're not, your parents sat there and talked bad about you and gave love to the one brother, but not to the other. And you felt like a loner. And so a legal right happened. And you were broken because of it. And the Lord has to set you free, but you got to figure out how to get past that. You got to find out why they came in. What is their assignment? What objects are inside of their house keeping them? Listen, dream catchers can keep demons in your house. It's not biblical to have those things. I don't care if you worship. You can say what you want, and you can keep all the demons that you want inside your house. But I guarantee I had dream catchers in my house. When I got rid of them, I didn't have any problems with demons. I was seeing badgers crawling on my walls, and they're like, what were you on? I was on Holy Ghost. That's it. Nothing else. Amen. I promise you. Amen. But I was seeing demon badgers. One night I woke up at 3:00 in the morning. I was shouting in the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. And I seen this demon with a crossbow and solid green eyes aiming it at my wife. I stood up and I ran over to it and I said, you go out of this house in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You devil, I command you right now. You get out now in the name of Jesus. And like a mist, it went and vanished. And my wife was like, what the heavens just happened? I said, baby, there was a demon in our room and he was going to kill us. And maybe it would have. You don't know. You ever woke up and had scratches down your body while you were sleeping? Incubus and succubus. There's demons inside of people's dreams, especially people that's been through the military and they can't get past what they did. You've got to learn to forgive yourself. I thank God for all of our armed forces. I thank God for all of our men and women that fought in this country and died for us. I don't take that for granted. Many of my family lost their life. My uncle was blown up in Nam, okay? I thank God for what he's doing. But I'm telling you, there are things that you had to do that were not godly. What is the legal right? How long have they been there? Remember, Jesus asked with that little boy, how long has your child been like this? And the father replied, since he was a boy. The demon tossed him in the fire and into the water to try to kill him. And that was a deaf and dumb spirit that caused suicide. Okay? And then you got to find out what the demon's name is. There is no biblical scripture. Many of people say you can't count on demons to tell you the truth. Actually, when you're talking about the word of God and you use the name of Jesus, they're required by the courtroom of heaven to tell you the truth on how they got in there, where they came from, and what their assignment is. You will not find any scripture in the Bible that says otherwise. They're required because there is a code, and the code is every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So you find out why this demon came into its life. Interrogate the demon. Don't have conversations. Don't play patty cakes with demons, okay? The Bible says that in the book of Acts, there was a woman that had a spirit of divination, and she told the truth. The demon told the truth. Some demons are actually nicer than some people. Can I get a witness? Amen or ouch. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. All right, number six. Check more times to make sure they're all gone. Ask the Holy Spirit if they're all gone. Look for body language. A lot of times people that are caught up in masturbation, their hands will crimp like they're paralyzed. Like this. You start binding that devil, and that hand hasn't uncrimped, you keep binding that devil, and you don't stop. Because they think that they can hold out on you and that you'll give up. But if you prove that you won't give up and you won't stop until they leave, they have to go. Because they get tired, and then finally they're like, I'm done. One thing I love to tell the devil, Pastor Lance, I like to tell the devil, you go tell your master your assignment's over and you failed. Oh, they hate that. They hate that. They come out screaming in the name of Jesus. I kid you not. You'll see it tonight. Some of y'all think this is a bunch of parlor tricks, but I didn't come here for your money. I'll leave the offering here. Don't tempt me with a good time. I don't want your money. I don't need your money. My daddy supplies all of my needs. You know what I want? I want you free. Pastor asked me, what do you need to come down here? Jack Sprat. I don't need money. I just need Jesus. Am I telling the truth? I don't ask for anything. If a ministry wants to give back to the ministry, praise God, so be it. Most of the time, I give it away anyway. We try to live off of 20% and give 80% of everything that we make away. You can't outgive God, friend. Some of y'all got a spirit of mammon, and that's why you're so stuck in not having any financial breakthroughs in your life anyway, because you don't trust God for your provision. And you're stacked up to credit card debt up to your eyeballs, and you're crying to Jesus, deliver me, help me, help me. He's like, well, stop spending. You love things more than you do me. Get rid of them. Look, I can't get rid of my Colorado. What's wrong with you, Jesus? Okay, just saying. In 2011, I left every single thing that I had. I had my wife. She was pregnant with our first son, Matthew. And we left Kentucky. I had a really good job in Cincinnati, Ohio. And when we were driving to West Virginia to pick up our stuff to move into our apartment in Erlanger, Kentucky, a song came on the radio, and it was a country radio station, but God used a country song to talk to me. A song by, I think, Tim McGraw. It came on and says, make me want to take a back road. I said, "Ooh, Jesus, I'm tired of these four lanes in the name of Jesus." And so I just felt this peace come over me, and I stopped at my mom's house. We gathered our stuff. My dad's Toyota was packed from front to back with all of our junk. We were getting ready to go down. We just put a deposit for $350 on an apartment in Erlanger, Kentucky, outside of Florence. And as we were doing that, the Holy Spirit hit my heart, and he said, Jason, I went into the bathroom, and I hit my knees, and I got down on my knees like this, and I said, Jesus, what do you want from me? And just as plainly as my name is Jason Lee Boggs, he said, I want you to leave all that you have, and I want you to come preach the gospel in West Virginia. So I got off of my knees with tears falling down my face. I walked out to my wife, and she said, what's wrong, honey? I said, I feel God's telling me to stay here, and that if we go back, we're going to disobey God. She said, I do too. We were 18 years old. She was pregnant. I had no job, no finances, and a $300 car payment on a Nissan Altima. Can I tell you, I worked three jobs to get by, but not one payment ever went late, and God always provided. If you serve money, money will be your God. But if you serve God, God will be your God. And God will provide the money. I promise you. The number one place that people give legal right to the devil other than unforgiveness is their finances. Because they feel like God has failed them. Okay? I know of a pastor that was told when he went to some prestigious preacher who I believe is a false prophet, but nonetheless, told him, you sow your seed of X amount of money and you will reap a harvest. So he gave $750,000. And you know what he reaped? Bankruptcy, anger, almost went through a divorce, now is divorced, and he ended up shooting his brother, and he was a pastor. He's in prison for the rest of his life because he listened to the wrong voice. How quickly the devil can get inside of people's mind. So after someone is delivered, Pastor, what do you do? Go ahead, ask me. You pray the Holy Spirit to fill them and to protect them. Because remember, there's a principle in Matthew chapter 12 that says a seven times worse. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he leaves. He comes back and he sees the places swept clean and empty. And then he goes back in and brings seven more demons more vile and worse than the ones we before. And the state of that man was worse than the beginning state. And so you must ask the Holy Spirit to fill that person with the Holy Ghost. It's not difficult. The book of Luke, chapter 13, and I'm going to close on this note. We're going to go into deliverance, Pastor, if that's okay. The book of Luke, we'll go into altar call, then deliverance, because some people need salvation in here tonight. That's the most important thing. Chapter 13 tells us, if your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, being evil, then how much more shall your heavenly father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? You don't have to jump through hoops, scoops, and pools. You just have to ask Daddy to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then don't miss it by 18 inches. You can receive the Holy Ghost. The first, well, you want tongues, you want filled with tongues. The first thing that comes to your mind, just start speaking it in the name of Jesus. First syllables that comes to your mind, because then you know you're not copying anybody else. Just start speaking it. It might be full words. Everybody's prayer language sounds different. You can't teach anybody to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's false. The reason people do that is because they want to be made themselves known, and they got a spirit of pride. It's coming all the way up and all the way out. Glory to God. Can we have the piano player, if she's here, come forward and play a little bit, if that's okay? Would you like to do the invitation, Pastor? You sure? I don't believe in manipulating people's mind, okay? This is real. I've come here for a real testament to what God is doing, and I don't take it for granted.